Support for Switched on Pop comes from Sonos. Sonos wants to know, where do you take your music? Personally, I take my music everywhere. It's with me on my commute. It's with me when I'm cooking dinner, cleaning up, working, doing just about anything. Makes sense. I'm a music journalist. For you, wherever you listen, you can experience high quality, balanced sound at any volume, anytime with Sonos, whether you're enjoying a podcast inside or taking your music on the go with the Sonos Ace headphones. Sonos can bring your sound to life. Visit Sonos.com to learn more.
Welcome to Switched on Pop. I'm producer Rihanna Cruz.
I'm songwriter Charlie Harding.
And I'm musicologist Nate Sloan.
So I went to Coachella this year. And while I was there, pop music's it girl, Charlie XCX, took the stage and very loudly and publicly declared that the theme of last year as we know it is dead and gone. Brat summer is officially over.
Rihanna, you should probably refresh Nate, who sometimes keeps his head under a rock about these major cultural trends. Brat summer.
I object and reject the assertion. I am well aware of brat summer, the phenomenon surrounding Charlie XCX's lime or slime green, I should say, album of the same title, which birthed such summer hits as 360, 365, Club Classics, which resulted in the regrettable, perhaps, tweet, Kamala is brat, which entered the zeitgeist in a way few pop albums have in the past. So the fact that its creator was indicating the death knell of this phenomenon seems significant. How did I do?
I'm impressed. You forgot Von Dutch, but that's
Von Dutch, yes.
Charlie, Nate, worry not. In the wake of Brat Summer, a phoenix has risen from the ashes of Charlie XCX's deep catalog. What lies next for Charlie might just come from her past. And I'm talking about her 2020 song, Party For You. Now, you might be wondering, what relevance does this song have in 2025, half a decade after its release? Turns out a whole lot. Back in February, the song started going viral on TikTok, kind of out of nowhere. It's not clear who started it, but it's kind of impossible to avoid all the Party For You lip syncs and explainer videos and dance videos. And Charlie's Coachella performance likely gave the song another boost. She performed it there to the point where earlier this month, Atlantic Records released it as a single to U.S. contemporary hit radio. And Party For You is currently spending its fifth week charting on the Billboard Hot 100. And Charlie recorded and released a music video all this very month.
Wait, a music video released 5 years after the original release date of a song? This feels very uncanny. I feel like songs only chart after the fact if there's like a major re-release where somebody dies.
I mean, maybe it's a testament to Charlie XCX being the hottest thing in pop music right now.
I think she's the hottest underdog in pop music. That's her thing. She's been the underdog since 2014 when she broke out with Fancy, I Love It, Boom Clap, those string of hits. She hasn't ever hit that commercial peak since. For the last decade, she's been making this underground hyper-pop, experimenting with the PC Music label. And even though last summer was Brat Summer and it may still be continuing, she's never found that same level of chart success, even though her brand success is far outpacing her current commercial appeal.
Right, which is surprising to people like me who have been on the Charlie train for over a decade. I'm kind of confused by why Party For You is so big, and it's doing something, like you said, that doesn't usually happen on the charts. So today, I want to put my detective hat on and investigate why Party For You, specifically, has gotten this second life. Why is the song having a moment, and why does it compel this renewed interest 5 years after its release?
As someone who's been on the Charlie train for nearly four decades, I'm very excited about this. Yes, that was a joke about my name.
I clocked.
I'm sorry.
A deer stalker cap is the thing that Sherlock Holmes wears. So maybe that's what you're putting on, Rihanna. I know Charlie would prefer to be a Von Dutch cap, but I think it has to be a deer stalker.
Yeah, I'm also grabbing my pipe and my magnifying glass because I feel like those are other Sherlockian elements to take you on this journey.
Key investigative accoutrements, which is essential because, Rihanna, like, how did we get here? Why this song? Why Party for You?
Yeah, I'd love to set the stage. This song was released in 2020 off of Charlie's fourth record titled How I'm Feeling Now. So let's take it back a few years, and I'm asking you guys to do a hard thing. Put yourselves in the collective trauma, perhaps, that was the early months of the COVID-19 pandemic.
Oof, tough moment.
We all were on collective lockdown. I was in college at that time, and I know I was firmly in the same pocket as Charlie XCX was, doing Zoom raves, feeling creatively stymied, needing an outlet of some sorts. And some people made bread. Some people made whipped coffee. I know I was there. Charlie XCX made an album. When I think of art from 2020, that period in my life, a few records come to mind. Dua Lipa's Future Nostalgia, which came out at the end of that March. Lady Gaga's Chromatica, which came out soon after. And Charlie XCX's How I'm Feeling Now. But How I'm Feeling Now was different because it was kind of the first piece of notable art that was stemming from the pandemic and being locked inside the house. It was made entirely during those first few weeks of lockdown. And I remember watching Charlie live stream the entire process of making this record.
Wait, she Twitch streamed the making of this album?
It was mostly on Instagram Live. But yeah, people would give their input on her lyrics and the track list. She looped the fans in every step of the process. There were numbers that you could text and get lyrics for future songs on the record. It was a really collaborative process that eventually got documented in a feature-length documentary. But the way she constructed this album was really interactive.
I actually spoke with A.G. Cook, her collaborative producing partner who executive produced this record, around that same time. And I remember learning that he basically had to drop ship all this gear to Charlie XCX to make the record in her home. She typically would like go to studios and other people's places. And so she like set up her own interface and they were like teaching each other how to produce remotely over Zoom as so many other people were doing. I feel like in that way, it was very relatable. Like she was literally making this work from her home living room with her friends over Zoom. And then I guess the entire community of fans at the same time.
And the visual aesthetic of the album supported that. The cover photo is her in her underwear, lying on her bed, holding a vintage camcorder. How I'm Feeling Now. There's something very DIY and approachable about it.
And the lyrics on most of the record supported these pandemic themes. There's songs about wanting to go back to the club. There's songs about wanting to see your friends. And at the time this record was being released, the song that took off from the album was the track Claws. But flash forward 5 years to 2025, and Claws has been dwarfed in streams by Party For You, and notably has become the audio for a massive TikTok trend. Oftentimes with TikToks, there's like a short bit being used for memes, you know, the 15-second snippet. But every part of the song is being used in different ways on TikTok. It's fascinating. And I think I've figured out why this song is successful. There's a few elements going on here. First and foremost, right off the bat, I'm going to say that this song is extremely hook heavy. Charlie XCX has always been good at writing hooks. It's one of her strong suits. This song is filled to the brim with singable melodies. It's a masterclass in earwormery. Taking it right from the top, the chorus starts off the song. I only do this body for you. Only do this body for you. For you, for you. I was hoping you would come through. I was hoping you would come through. It's true, it's true. Only do this body for you. I only do this body for you. For you, for you. I'm about to party on you. What's your party on you? Don't pour us. Get to the chorus. The melody of the chorus almost sounds nursery rhyme-like. Like, it's sung so plainly and it's so simple. Anybody can listen to it and sing along. It's not very complicated by any means.
Yeah, I feel like that's true of the rhyme scheme as well. Party for you, party for you, party for you. I just want you to come through, party for you. It's very like elementary, not in a bad way, but in a very hooky way, I think.
Mm. Right. We're not using big words. We're not using large rhymes. It's very simple. And I think it reflects the nature of the record's construction. You know, it came together in such a short amount of time under such strenuous circumstances. It feels very haphazard, but not in a way that's off-putting. It's inviting.
Agree.
It's first draft pop. The way Charlie described her lyric writing on Brat as like a text message turned into a song.
Yeah.
It's very direct, and that's the point of it.
And I think it's aided by her usage of auto-tune. It turns this kind of style of singing into something more melodic. It doesn't really feel like there's much strain on her vocals. It's coming very easy to her, and it's communicated easily. Everything in this song is hooky. Even the verses. Let's go to the first verse of the song. 1,000 pink balloons, DJ with your favorite tunes. Birthday cake in August, but you were born 19th of June. Champagne pouring in your mouth, caught your friends from out of town. Got the party bag with the purple bills, and I'm waiting for you by the window, yeah. Caught your digits, but the phone can't ring it. It's so naked. I feel like the verse really captures the feeling of this song. Her voice is reverberant. Like she's in the foyer of this giant home where she's going to throw this party.
The foyer?
Foyer? Foyer? Is the foyer?
I think it's the foyer. Got to get French up in here.
I have a foyer. You have a foyer. We'll let that be. This party is a solitary party, which is appropriate for its time. People are feeling stuck, alone, under lockdown. But she's singing from this perspective of partying by herself, which has so many layers of potential meaning. One is she's writing this for her fans. There's a lot of fan service. I only made this party for you. I made this hit for you. We're making it together live stream. The cavernous sound in the verse also brings about this feeling of often what a party is really for. It's like you throw a party, but actually you've got this big crush on this one person and the party's really only for them. And you're hoping they're going to come through this party. And nothing about this party is fun. Even if there are other people there, you feel entirely alone until you get their attention. And so I think the song, just in its sonics here in this verse, is telling us so much about the emotional state. This is not just a silly party anthem. It's much deeper than that.
I feel like it's also mining a vein of pop music that goes back to the 1960s hit by Leslie Gore, It's My Party and I'll Cry If I Want To. I mean, this is an eternal feeling, right? I'm at this party, but why am I not happy?
And that song has that same giant, reverberant kind of vocal. It's my party and I'll cry if I want to, cry if I want to, cry if I want to. You would cry too if it happened to you. Also nursery rhyme-ish. This is why we count on you, Dr. Sloan. That musicology background, what a fun connection.
And I'm looking at the structure of the Leslie Gore song right now, and everything is in service of this chorus. Mm-hmm. Same thing's happening here in Party For You. Everything revolves around the hook, and everything that isn't a chorus feels like it's directly in service of the chorus. Hmm. The verse feels more like a pre-chorus. 1,000 pink balloons, DJ with your favorite tunes, birthday cake in August, but you were born 19th of June. Champagne pouring in your mouth, caught your friends from out of town. Got the party bag with the purple bill. It's like a ball that just keeps rolling and rolling and rolling and it doesn't stop.
Yeah, I think we're getting that sound from the bass line and from the arpeggiated synth. Both feel like they're rising and rising and rising. It's very common for the bass to sort of go up and down, follow the root notes, or maybe continuously move downwards. This bass line, up until the very end of the phrase, just keeps rising and rising and rising. You feel like you're inflating, moving up like these pink balloons.
Boom, 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 boom. Now you do the arpeggios, Charlie. 2, 3, 4. Boom, 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 boom. Higher, Charlie. Boom, boom, boom. I need falsetto. Boom, boom, boom. There we go. Dun, dun. Yeah. Okay. Charlie could keep it together to get through that. It would have been incredibly effective, but listeners will have to imagine it.
I was in the C tier of my a cappella group.
You were the beatboxer.
That's a revelation. I don't know if this has ever been admitted in the 10 years of Switched On Pop history. I was indeed in an a cappella group, but they put me in the back because I was really bad.
Was that the Jabberwocks or the Bare Necessities or the Troublemakers? What are we talking about here, Charlie? Here comes treble.
No. This was in high school. I don't.
Okay.
I don't.
So Glee Club.
No, it was a true acapella group.
Well, bringing it back to party for you, I feel like she's.
That was needed. I know that I just like really ended the party there. Once the acapella group starts, I'm so sorry for all my friends who love acapella. It's wonderful, but it can really like, oh no, here they come. They're starting to sing. All right, party for you.
Well, juxtaposing party for you with acapella, Charli XCX is doing the complete opposite of the acapella vocal. She's doing a mix of speak singing. Mm-hmm. It's almost like rapping, but it's this lax delivery that doesn't require much vocal dexterity. And Charli does it a lot in this era of her career in particular. There's a similar cadence on this trap track of hers called Five in the Morning.
It's five in the morning and I'm going all in. I'm busy balling. Funny how wherever I want to go, you want to be that girl. Pull up and stone with your click.
And even on the same record as Party For You, How I'm Feeling Now, the song Anthems contains this similar delivery.
I'm so bored. Wake up late, eat some cereal. Try my best to be physical. Lose myself in a TV show. Staring out to oblivion.
It's bouncy and the autotune is advantageous because it allows Charli to create her own vocal texture while keeping things hooky and not giving much effort. I think this contributes to Charlie's image writ large because her aesthetic is so effortlessly curated. Mm. You know, she walks around on stage with a wine glass and not much else. Like, it's very simple. And this delivery is in service of that.
I would say that it is effortful effortlessness. There's a lot of thought and work and years of experience getting put into this work. I even feel like when we hear the second verse, you get this sort of like endless motor-like rhythm. I think she's working really hard.
I want you to hold that thought, Charli, because we're going to get to the second verse later.
Okay.
I want to talk about another element of the song that contributes to its success, and that's its deep and distinct sonic texture. We talked about the way that the synthesizers sound in this first verse. Mm-hmm. But the song, a co-production with British producer A.G. Cook, is also successful because it doesn't really sound like much else. It's a track that's extremely different from what's happening in mainstream pop. And there's a certain draw to these foreign textures that Cook brings to the track. I want to start from the beginning. Right from the get-go, we have the shimmering arpeggiated synth that Charli Harding tried and failed to.
No. It's Charli, not XCX, just to be clear. She's Charli XCX, I'm Charli, not XCX.
Either way, you tried and failed to recreate this synth sound. We have an intro here that's very simple. We're kind of put into this atmospheric space with this arpeggiated synth that's giving us this texture that I really don't know how to describe other than shiny. Mm.
I think that these arpeggios have a sort of uncanny valley quality to them. They sound almost like a real instrument, but also obviously synthesized. A lot of A.G. Cook's sounds draw on the sonics of old 90s keyboard workstations that would have very little sample space on them. And so they would only have like a couple of samples of oohs, ahs, strings. And these synths would layer those samples with synthesized sounds to try to create the facsimile of a real sound. It was called PCM synthesis. And I don't know if that's where they got PC music, maybe. I don't even know. I'm speculating here. But PCM synthesis was a way of trying to make real sounds, but they never quite sounded real. And so if you listen to especially like live recordings of your favorite band that had just a keyboardist trying to play horns or strings, they always sounded kind of cheesy.
Yeah.
Well, A.G. Cook, Charli XCX, they love these cheesy, unreal, uncanny valley kind of sounds. And so that's what we get at the very beginning. This glittery, kind of real, kind of synthesized, puts you in this dreamlike no man's land.
Mm.
That's so fascinating. It's a sound that lies in the past because I find it very futuristic.
Back to the Future, baby.
There's a cool rhythmic thing happening as well. It's just four measures of four beats, so 16 beats, but the way they're divided up is like 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 3, 4. So there's like kind of this odd division that keeps it rhythmically interesting, even when there's not a lot happening at the beginning of the song.
So we have these uncanny valley PCM sounds, these rolling rhythms that are making us feel threes and fours at the same time. It's very unnerving to begin with. We're starting from an unsettled place.
Yeah, it's not matching the title. It's like, I'm here for the party. Where's the party at?
Yeah.
Well, maybe the next element gives more of a party vibe. When Charlie's voice comes in to sing that first chorus, we get this muted bass drum that comes in behind her.
That's like a layer of a sub 808 with what sounds like maybe a floor tom from a drum kit.
Right.
That has almost sort of like a warlike kind of sound. I always associate the toms with like, don't, you know, like going into war. Sometimes you'd have the snare rolling along too, but there's something very aggressive about the floor tom.
This sound is kind of my favorite production element in this entire piece. It carries us through the track. And this layering that you described, Charlie, makes it sound both far away and muted, like you're hearing it through a wall, right? Mm-hmm. Like with this party theme, it's like you're in the bathroom having a moment to yourself where you're getting in touch with your sensitive side while music is booming in the living room, or like it's your neighbor's party and you're overhearing the kind of muffled bass coming through the next wall over.
Yeah, if you're DJ Costanza and you get invited to the party, you need a moment to yourself in the bathroom. Yeah. I get it. If you're Charlie, not XCX, you didn't even get invited to the party. So you're across the street and you're hearing it muffled through the house that you wish you got the invite to.
Damn, that's kind of sad.
It's all right. You're cooler than I am. I get it.
Turning to a bit of a therapy session for Charlie, not XCX here.
I feel like this whole album is therapeutic.
This drum 808 moment comes into the chorus. And as we move into this first verse, the drum pattern is switched with this kind of pinging atmospheric synth. There's like a ping, right? Like radar, pulling us away from this voyeuristic, perhaps claustrophobic sonic palette. And once again, into this atmospheric landscape, away from a tangible sense of place. The floor tom sound we just talked about is gone and is now replaced by this pinging, which is steadily rising, contributing to this kind of snowball effect where the song just keeps building and building and building.
Yeah, the song is creating this feeling like at some point the beat has got to drop, the party has got to start, everyone's got to come in the doors. Boom, giant party happening for you.
And each chorus adds a synth element to kind of raise the emotional stakes of the song. The narrative becomes richer as the song progresses.
Synth pads, new percussion layers, something that sounds almost like a triangle in the background.
There's new background vocals added where she's going, whoa, whoa, which is new. Haven't heard that yet.
And then lyrically, we allied from party for you to party on you. I just want to party on you. And I need some help decoding this. What does it mean to party on someone?
I hope you find out someday, Nate.
Oh, it's sex? Oh, well, that I know all about that. I mean, I've read about it in books.
Three children.
And I have three children that came from somewhere, presumably. But is that really what's going on? I just want to party on you? I just want to have sex with you? Is that? I feel like there's another meaning here.
I think it's ultimately about forming connection. Like, this is a desperate call out into the universe of like, I want to be close to you. And so whether that is physically, romantically, or just forming that connection, that's what she's yearning for. That's why this feeling of like this endless build, we want to see it fulfilled.
I threw this party for you so that I could party on you. Okay. I want to leave it vague, and not because I'm a prude, just because I think that's staying true to the spirit of the lyrics.
And this line, party on you, takes us into the third element of the song that I think is contributing to its massive success. We're going to get to that after the break.
Support for Switched on Pop comes from Sonos. There's some albums out there that make for a really good listen in one sitting. Like for me, Songs in the Key of Life, Discovery, Golden Hour, even Short and Sweet. With a fully integrated sound system, you can listen to all your favorite albums all the way through without interrupting the flow of your day. Sonos delivers high quality, balanced sound wherever and whenever you listen. You can listen on the go with the Sonos Ace headphones, which are made to be adjustable and comfortable for long hours and offer a battery life of up to 30 hours. And once you're home, you can switch to your Sonos soundbar and enjoy that personal theater experience. Millions of listeners around the world trust Sonos for timeless, beautifully designed products. Unlock the full potential of your listening with Sonos. Visit Sonos.com to learn more.
So in this investigation of Party For You, we already have a plethora of hooks and we already have the song's rich textures. The third thing about this track that I find special is most apparent in the back half of the song. This is nearly a 5-minute song. It clocks in at 4 minutes and 56 seconds. And around the halfway mark, we get a distinct use of monotonous repetition.
Monotonous repetition.
Monotonous repetition.
Monotonous repetition.
Thank you. There's 2 points in the track in which this happens. And if you plotted out the song on, let's say, a story map, shout out film school, it would be the song's rising action into the climax. The rising action is this track's second verse. We get this flowing stream of words and melody that gives no signs of stopping. This part of the song is the source of one of the song's viral trends where people exaggeratedly lip sync this verse. This stream of consciousness has this lyrical dexterity to it.
You could watch me pull up on your body like it's summer, take my clothes off in the water, splash around and get you blessed like holy water. This is what I'm talking about. This is not effortless. Like it sounds like she's just whatever.
Right.
But it's very precise. When I saw her do this live, all of Barclays Center went bananas. This is her guitar solo to me. This is like, I'm showing off all that I've got, all my rhymes. The melody is simple because she's nearly rapping. As she increases the speed of her delivery, the stakes just feel like they're building and building, which support all of what we've heard in the production. Like, this thing is gonna blow up. The party is nearly here.
It's giving intrusive thoughts. It's giving word vomit. When the melody breaks, you know, she's kind of doing this rapid fire. When we get this pause, her intonation drops, like she's exasperated and taking a breath, or perhaps coming back down to earth, grounding herself in her body rather than her thoughts.
Well, it's also a real shift in emotional state, right? At first, it's like, we're going nuts in the pool. Everything's wild. And then she's like, if you saw my tears, would you touch me? Like, if I'm vulnerable with you, will you still be open with me? Like, can we still get together? I want to be real. This is where the song feels like it's a silly party anthem, but it's actually about the desperation of wanting to be loved.
And the way that she says the line, I only threw this party for you, before she launches into these questions, if you saw my tears, would you touch me, is delivered very delicately. She's kind of yelling the first half of this verse. And then when she says, I only threw this party for you, there's an extra layer of vocal processing on her voice that brings it down to earth. She's singing very softly. It is a marked shift.
Yeah, it's like she's gone from raging, as she does on stage and owns the entire party, and then walks over to you, whispers in this person's ear with this beautiful vocoded voice, I only threw this party for you. It's very intimate.
It is. I can see why this song came out of this COVID moment, because it's all about yearning for that experience of being together. It's like imagining the party, imagining the connection, imagining having that spark with someone. Mm. And then I feel like I can see why it's having this resurgence, because people are still yearning for that connection. We're no longer in a global pandemic, or maybe by some metrics we are. I honestly don't know at this point. But I can say that there is a loneliness epidemic out there, mm-hmm. right? Yeah. I'm not making this up. I've read the studies. People are yearning for that connection. They're staring into their phones, and this song helps reflect that back at them. Who doesn't relate to that? I threw this party for you. The only reason I showed up was because I was hoping you would be there, and I was hoping I could talk to mm-hmm. you. I've been in that experience.
I think the only thing that makes the song even that much more successful is that it never fulfills the expectation the party takes off, that like it leaves us wanting more. Mm. And I feel like after this rapid fire second verse, we're going to finally hear the party, and yet we don't. Instead, we go into this like extended bridge section that completely recontextualizes this party.
Yeah, and that's the climax of the song, I would say. It's kind of form breaking because it is sort of a bridge. It's not really a verse. It's just this building a cappella crescendo.
Yeah. Might I say anticlimax?
I like that. Party on you, party on you, party on, party on you, party on you, party on, party on you, party on you, party on, party on you. So as we get into this anticlimax, the whole song cuts out. When her voice comes back in, we get that same voice that we heard in that little vocoder section of the second verse, this kind of intimate, soft, delicate, I only threw this party for you. Here she's repeating over and over again, party on you, party on you, party on. It's this moment in the song where everything stops. And part of the song's virality is people trying to explain what this part means, what people are gleaning from it. Charlie XCX made a TikTok in response, and what this part represents to her is, quote, the moment you realize that that one person isn't ever coming to your party.
Oh.
So you stand in the middle of the room. Tears briefly fill your eyes, but then you wipe them away. Pretend you're okay, and then proceed to get unbelievably effed up, and then spend the next week feeling completely ashamed of yourself. XX.
Wow.
Relatable.
Yep.
Extremely evocative. And it's crazy because this section does evoke those feelings by starting at the bare minimum and building back up. The sequence lasts for nearly a minute with elements being added layer by layer. And when the synths start to come back in, they begin to creep in quietly and grow louder, mimicking this impending wave of emotion that Charlie talks about. And then after the arpeggiating top layer, we get this deep abrasive bass. It's a little bit more intense than the bass we got at the beginning of the song. Going back to A.G. Cook's superb texture landscaping, it's hard and it kind of catches you off guard.
And we also have a reduced harmonic language. Earlier, the song was going through this four chord vamp. And now when the 808 comes back, we just get this sort of two chord vamp, eventually introduces a third chord. So I think your metaphor for sort of building back up is totally appropriate. She's like trying to get back to that place of excitement of wanting this party to happen.
Yeah, the 808 builds and then these claps come in. As Charlie gives this auto-tuned wail, come to my party. It brings up the repetition in a way that feels cathartic. And this plea here, right? Come to my party. This is the most direct that she's been in this entire song. It's one of the most vulnerable moments in a song full of vulnerability. It keeps building and then is the bedrock for what I'd consider the song's denouement, you know, the post-climax breather that leads us into the track's conclusion. the vocal stacking contributes to this deeply cinematic build that rises and then falls. And during this outro verse, instead of going up at the end of the phrase, she goes down, right? She sings, "All I'm thinking, all I know is." It's falling, and it kind of contributes to this feeling of defeat that Charlie expresses.
I can absolutely hear this feeling of defeat. She is not getting what she wants. But I think the moment of realization is actually just before this extended outro. What happens immediately after her rapid fire second verse is a harmonic shift where we can hear her experience, oh, I'm not going to get what I want. Okay, here comes the build. We're growing. It's exciting. Feels familiar. But then, what is that chord? We're building still. The party's gonna happen. And then... ooh!
Oh, that was weird.
That is a stank face chord.
Wow.
Yeah.
Feeling it.
All of a sudden, this really tense harmonic language shows this emotional shift.
Yeah.
That we no longer have those basic chords, the party chords. Instead, it's these very in my feelings, almost feels like Baroquean kind of harmonic language.
Yeah.
I feel like that's, to me, how she's setting up the anticlimax. That we're revisiting familiar material with new harmonic language. It builds and builds and builds and builds and builds. Only to be resolved with what you had showed was like that quiet, tiny little voice, like party for you, party for you, party for you with the vocoder.
It's actually party on you, which...
Oh, yes. Thank
is
you.
Perhaps a little bit more interesting, the repetition of those words, party on you, which already is kind of nonsensical, muddles the meaning of the phrase. It's like when you say a word or a name so many times, it kind of sounds like gibberish. Like, you can only say the word party so many times before it just becomes kind of a droning back thought.
Party, 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 party on you, party on you, party on you. Party on you is a word.
And on that note, I feel like we've talked about this party that Charlie XCX is throwing on Party For You so much.
We're the last people standing. Just listening to the outro on repeat.
Yeah, my Uber's here, so I gotta go. But all that to say, if you combine Charlie's penchant for writing hooks with A.G. Cook's deep textures and this monotonous repetition that Charlie implements, we have a pretty foolproof formula for a renewed viral hit. It's no surprise people are gravitating toward this song. It sounds different than everything else on the radio and serves as a parallel to some of the best songs on that record, Brat. I, for one, will welcome the death of Brat Summer if it means songs like Party For You finally get their due.
Switched on Pop is produced by Rana Cruz, engineered by Brandon McFarlane, edited by Art Chung, illustrations by Aris Gottlieb, theme song by Jossie Adams and Zach Tenario of Arc. I was a member of the Vox Media Podcast Network, a production of Vulture, which is part of New York Magazine. You can subscribe at nymag.com/pod.
Find more episodes of Switched on Pop anywhere you get podcasts and head over to our website, switchedonpop.com, to sign up for our mailing list and find us on social media at Switched on Pop. Tell us why you think Party For You is having its half-decade resurgence.
We'll be back again next Tuesday with a brand new episode. And until then, thanks for listening.
Think of your favorite moment in one of your favorite songs. For me, it's often when you take something you've heard before and then you present it in a new way. Like in the song State of Grace, Taylor sings the penultimate chorus line, "And I'll never be the same." And the chords underneath completely shift and I get goosebumps every single time I hear it. What if you could listen to that moment for the first time again? Well, you can't turn back time, but listening through a pair of Sonos headphones can feel like listening with fresh ears. The Sonos Ace headphones are crafted for excellent sound and comfort for long hours of listening. Unlock the full potential of your listening with Sonos Ace headphones. Learn more at Sonos.com.